You're listening to the FQXI podcast.
An interview on the website www.fqxi.org/community/podcast. You'll also find a link to an article that Zia wrote for Nature about the origins of space and time, featuring his research and the work of many others.
For that Nature article, I also chatted with a physicist called Mark Van Ramsdonk at the University of British Columbia, who has also been thinking deeply about the origins of space and time, but from a different angle.
That's right. Van Ramsdonk is working on the idea that the most fundamental constituents of reality are not space and time, but that space and time themselves depend on quantum entanglement, the spooky property that can link two or more quantum particles in the lab so that they start to act like one joint entity. Van Ramsdonk spoke with reporter Karin Pikama and told her more about his quantum quest for the ultimate glue binding reality together.
Decades of research have shown that quantum theory explains the nature and behavior of particles on atomic and subatomic levels with exquisite precision. However, even Einstein, who came up with some of the foundational research on which quantum mechanics is based, was acutely aware that the mathematics underpinning the theory could not be extended to explain the motion of much larger objects, such as stars and planets, which are governed by gravity. Since then, physicists have struggled to come up with a single theory of quantum gravity that encompasses the physics of both the very small and the extremely large. Mark Van Ramsdonk, a professor of physics at the University of British Columbia in Canada, argues that the most fundamental component of a theory of quantum gravity may turn out to be entanglement. This is a spooky quantum property that famously led Einstein to doubt whether quantum theory could provide a complete description of the universe, because it seems to allow far-flung objects to communicate faster than the speed of light. Despite Einstein's misgivings, entanglement has now been demonstrated in the lab, and Van Ramsdonk proposes that entanglement may be the glue that holds space-time itself together. Via Skype, Van Ramsdonk told me about his ideas. To set the scene, he started by explaining why quantum theory is currently not yet capable of explaining all the laws that govern nature and the universe.
In the last century, people were successful in taking the existing theory of electricity and magnetism, which really explains most of the physics that we observe, and basically building in the rules of quantum mechanics. So they combine these two things to a theory called quantum electrodynamics. And that it was difficult to do, but it gave us a theory that works beautifully. There's certain predictions that we can make theoretically with that theory that work to 8 decimal places. So you can predict a number, and then you can go out and do an experiment and measure the same thing, and everything agrees. So that quantum mechanical theory now applies to 3 of our standard 4 forces of nature. But of course, there's this other force, which is gravity. And so the situation there is that we have a theory, general relativity, that Einstein came up with that works extremely well to explain essentially all of the gravitational phenomena that we observe. And of course, most of these phenomena are at large scales, solar system distances or scales of the whole observable universe. And so we would think, well, that's a situation where we wouldn't really need quantum mechanics at all. But fundamentally, we think that the rules of quantum mechanics should apply to everything. And we can imagine certain situations where it would, in fact, be important to have a quantum mechanical theory of gravity. For example, just at the very beginning of the universe, where the density in the universe was so high, that would be a place where we just can't completely understand using Einstein's theory.
But applying the rules of quantum mechanics on a galactic scale has not been straightforward. According to Einstein's theory of gravity, general relativity, matter curves the space-time that everything is living in, causing bodies to move. So what sets gravity apart from the 3 other forces of the standard model, the weak, strong, and electromagnetic forces, is that it is a manifestation of this moving space-time. However, how the mathematics of one of the main principles of quantum mechanics would apply in a dynamic world governed by gravity is not clear. According to quantum mechanics, for instance, particles can be in 2 different places at the same time. This is known as the principle of superposition. But what happens if space-time itself is quantum in nature? Van Ramsdonk sets out the problem.
If I have some physical situation where the geometry of the universe is not any definite thing, it's just difficult to think of the mathematics. If you want to have things moving around in the universe, the usual ways that we do physics, you just assume that there's some fixed space in which things are moving around. But now, according to quantum mechanics, if that applies to gravity, then not only do these things moving around not necessarily have definite locations, but the space itself could be in some state where there's no definite geometry. So it's fundamentally a little bit more difficult. And in detail, people have just tried this, the simplest ways of incorporating the rules of quantum mechanics into Einstein's theory and trying to apply those rules, and it just hasn't worked out very well. So that's in some sense where string theory came in.
String theory is one of the most developed candidate theories for quantum gravity. It posits that particles are actually composed of tiny vibrating threads of energy. While some physicists were searching for a mathematical solution to the problem, others were using string theory to address questions about the forces at play between quarks. And in doing this, their work incidentally provided clues that have helped in the search for a solution to the mathematical conundrum of quantum gravity.
So they came up with this mathematical theory where you start with what are essentially little microscopic rubber bands. They're one kind of one-dimensional objects that can stretch out and vibrate. And what they did was apply the rules of quantum mechanics to that system. And somehow, miraculously, when all was said and done, that theory of these quantum rubber bands had gravitational interactions in it automatically.
But string theory only gave a set of rules that allowed the researchers to do certain calculations where quantum gravitational effects were important. However, there were many questions that they were not capable of answering using just these rules. This all changed in 1998 when Juan Maldacena, now at the Institute of Advanced Studies in Princeton, proposed an important hypothesis.
What Maldacena did is to argue that for certain examples of string theory, let's say we're trying to describe our four-dimensional universe, three space and time, he showed that that complicated theory that we didn't even completely understand was actually equivalent mathematically to a much simpler theory. And the simpler theory is a theory that lives in a lower number of dimensions, first of all. But most importantly, it's a theory that doesn't have any gravity in it. It's kind of like the theories that we came up with when we combined electromagnetism with quantum mechanics. And so we basically could now understand this equivalent theory using physics that we knew very well. It's a funny thing, if it's true, it says that you could have any sort of state of this lower dimensional system. And then there should be this dictionary that says, well, that maps on to some kind of geometry of space-time, possibly with some things in it. And then if you understood, say, the physics of this simpler system and how things evolved there, and you understood this mapping, you could figure out what was going on in the gravity system.
Maldacena's theory has given other physicists direction, and there are numerous papers and experiments agreeing with the basic premise. But despite the apparent success of this theory, it is still unclear exactly how information in the lower dimensions translates into information about gravity theory. Van Ramsdonk explains it thus.
If you're sitting in front of your computer playing some three-dimensional video game, there's this universe that you're moving through and lots of things are happening in that universe. And it seems pretty real, but of course, fundamentally, all of the information about what's happening in your video game world is stored somewhere in your computer. So there's this memory card in your computer somewhere. The memory card is like the two-dimensional system where every state of that system would correspond to the higher dimensional world. So the question now of translating the lower dimensional system into the higher dimensional system, it's sort of like if someone handed you this computer and said, well, here's the video game, and actually everything that you see is really stored on this memory card. It wouldn't be at all necessarily obvious how the information of the 3D world and the video game is stored in the 2D memory card.
Van Ramsdonk is currently trying to figure out how you could translate from the simpler 2D system to the more complicated gravity system set in space-time. And he thinks this coding happens via quantum entanglement. In quantum mechanics, superposition means that an object can be in several places at the same time. Van Ramsdonk explains it with a ball and a box. In quantum superposition, the ball can be inside or outside the box, and equally the box can be open or it can be closed. These states are all possible at the same time until you make a measurement. However, even in the quantum world, not every object or event need to be independent. And this opens up very powerful possibilities.
So I could have a superposition of a ball in a closed box plus a ball outside of an open box. If I look, I'm either going to see the ball in the closed box or I'm going to see a ball sitting outside of an open box. And so now we would say that the ball in that state, the ball and the box are entangled. Because if I did a measurement and I found that the box was closed, I would then know definitely that the ball was in the box. So it's a state where neither part has a definite configuration, but somehow the uncertainty is somehow correlated. And when people talk about building quantum computers, it's really this idea of entanglement, the fact that you have these more general possibilities where different parts of a system could be entangled with each other that allow you to do things that no ordinary computer would do or allow you to do things much faster than an ordinary computer would be able to do. So if we take that analogy with the computer almost literally, it would be saying that someone hands you this memory chip that they tell you is what's encoding the information about your video game. And what you realize is that while this memory chip is actually part of a quantum computer, it's storing the information about your higher dimensional world using this quantum entanglement. This is a central question that I'm focusing on, just trying to understand better how this works. And so eventually the big plan is to continue trying to understand as best I can how this Maldacena correspondence works. And then try to make some of these generalizations to more realistic gravitational theories.
Physicists have only started seriously thinking about entanglement as a translation tool in the last 5 years, and yet we already understand much better how we can use it to determine quantum gravity from lower dimensional systems. Van Ramsdonk expects that in 5 to 10 years from now, we'll be able to have mathematically well-defined models that could potentially describe the Big Bang using quantum mechanics. While he points out to me that this does not mean we'll necessarily understand the universe in its entirety, he's nonetheless amazed by how much we already comprehend about it and all its matter.
I find it absolutely incredible somehow that we've progressed as far as we have. I don't understand why somehow the universe is just simple enough, or we're just smart enough somehow that we've managed over just a few hundred years really to go from not understanding much at all, just observing the world around us, to being able to make predictions about things that are happening at scales 100 trillion times smaller than we could really see with our eyes, or we can now confidently make predictions about what happened 14 billion years ago. I mean, we know basically how old our universe is. So who knows? Maybe it's possible to go all the way, or maybe there's a limit.
That was Mark Van Ramsdonk talking with Corinne Pickema. You can also read an article about his latest FQXI-funded research on the website, www.fqxi.org/community.
And that's all for today. We shall leave you to ponder just where you came from and what it is you are actually made of.
And if you work out the answer, then email us at podcast@fqxi.org or tweet us at FQXI, because we'd love to know what the answer is.
Thank you again to Andre Linde, Joao Magalho, Tanu Padmanabhan, Mark Van Ramsdonk, and Karim Pickema.
He's been Brendan Foster.
And she's been Zia Morali.